Good morning. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest on the dance scene and the heart of what moves us. It is so good, as always, to be back with you, sending you all the love and light as we enter into the space. Thank you for joining us. We welcome you into this dance space. Now, today, as always, we're inviting you to join us as we explore the stories that live both on and beyond the stage. And we have another full conversation for you this hour. Coming up on today's show, Anamika Wade, Executive Director of Toronto Alliance for the Performing Arts, is in the house and will be joining us on the program to open up about the work of the organization, her work, the 45th anniversary Dora Mabel Moore Awards presented by the Romano D'Andrea Foundation, and so much more. So stay tuned and stay locked in right here to CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to take a break and be right back with Anamika Wade. Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. My guest today, Anamika Wade, is the Executive Director of TAPA and a dedicated advocate for inclusivity in the arts. Originally from St. Albans, Vermont, Anamika Wade headed to Ontario for school in 1994 and graduated from the University of Toronto, Mississauga, Sheridan College, Joint Theatre and Drama Studies program in 1998. Now, once on Canadian soil, she never really left, despite a brief return home to complete an MBA from Champlain College in Burlington, Vermont. Anamika had fallen shamelessly in love with Toronto and became a citizen in 2013. With over 20 years of industry experience both on and off stage, Anamika champions strategically undervalued communities through programming and engagement that prioritizes diversity and active representation. She previously served on the TAPA Board of Directors from 2016 to 2022 and Eligibility Committee from 2022 to 2024. Was a contributing member of the PGC Pact Contract Negotiations Working Group from 2022 to 2023, and currently sits on the TAC Theatre Committee 2023 to 2026. Anamika Wade was recently honored with a nomination as a Woman of influence for the 32nd RBC Canadian Women Entrepreneur Awards. It is my great, great pleasure to welcome Anamika Wade to the show. Anamika, welcome to Turnout Radio.
Nicole, thank you so much for having me today. It's a pleasure to be here, a real honor.
Oh, well, what a pleasure it is to have you on the show today. How is Anamika doing as you come into the house today? How have you been doing?
I would say for the most part, I'm feeling pretty good. We are days away from the Doras, and even though I am not the main producer this year, there is a lot of work for me to do, and we've got a huge team that is almost, not quite, working around the clock, but they're putting in some long days. But, it's going to be great. It's exciting. It's fun. It's nerve-wracking, but it's exciting and it's fun. And I'll just keep saying that to make myself to believe it.
Well, I would imagine how much work, in fact, I can't imagine how much work you're all doing behind the scenes, but from an outside view and having had the opportunity to have attended many years, what an extraordinary opportunity for us to come together and celebrate. And so I'm looking forward to seeing you all at the ceremony on Monday.
I am so excited that you are going to be joining us on Monday. It's going to be a great time. And I think the plan is it will be the shortest Dora Awards ceremony ever. So it'll be fun and it'll be fast.
We'll definitely be speaking more about the awards ceremony coming up later in the program. But I'd love for us to come back to that to learn more about some of the changes and highlights that will be happening in this year's ceremony. Mm-hmm. And so as you come into the space, I want to congratulate you, Anamika, on your role. You started in the role at TAPA on January the 6th, 2025. Mm-hmm. What has it meant to you to commence the year in this role? And also, can you talk about how it speaks to the work that you wish to do within the city of Toronto and beyond?
Well, TAPA is a local arts service organization, or a LASO, as we shorten it to be. So what that means is our organization actually serves over 150 professional dance, theater, and opera companies within the city of Toronto. And as members, they are privy to a number of special perks, one of which is being eligible for nominations or submissions to the Dora Maeve Vermore Award. They're allowed to submit their work to be submitted for consideration. Also, things that we do at TAPA, we have something called the TAPA Trade Series, which is learning opportunities for anyone, really, any members. Oftentimes, we'll make that available to non-members as well. We have the TAPA Communique, which is something that we send out every month, which is just a little an update of what's going on in our community, within our industry. Something that's kind of fun that we've started to do since I've been there is the communique goes out once a month, and we've added a little short-ish 1 to 2 minute video that basically summarizes that month's communique, and it's me doing the work. We have a really great self-tape studio in B Street, which I'll talk about in a little bit. With you, I'm sure. But we use that studio to do these too long don't read videos for people. It also sort of increases the accessibility of the newsletter. So if reading is difficult for you, watch the video and you'll get the whole idea of what the words say. Or if you don't even have the time, just watch the video. It's lots of fun. And it's just kind of me being ridiculous. But I've really been enjoying it. It's a great time. What else can I say about being at TAPA? So before I was with TAPA, I was with a group called Rosenay Theatre, and we did Theatre for Young Audiences, or TYA. And as the executive director of a touring TYA company, that role is pretty invisible in the work that we do. All of the work is done in the background, but without the executive director, of course, like nothing could actually be accomplished or get done, because I'm the budgets, I'm the financial side of things. But for a person who started as a performer, I would I would not tell the truth if I didn't admit that it was a little hard to be the invisible work. Now that I am in TAPA, I am no longer invisible. And I would have to say that's probably the thing that I'm enjoying the most about it. I am getting to connect with the community. I am getting to really show up for a lot of the members. And those members who are out there know who you are, but I really feel like I've had the opportunity to be there for them already in the first 6 months. And that's something I want to continue to do. So in terms of like what I want to be a defining factor in my time as the executive director of TAPA is I'm here, I'm showing up, I'm listening. And if you're a member and you feel like you need some support for whatever reason that is, come tell me, we'll figure it out together. I'll help you find the resources you need, or sometimes I'll just be an ear to listen, or a shoulder to cry on, or a hand to give a high five to. So all of those things.
Well, this is wonderful. And I find what is spectacular about your share is that it speaks to collaboration. So we're doing this together.
Yes,
we're doing this together. I had the pleasure, Anamika, of watching you speak at the TAPA Toronto City Council budget in January, just a couple of weeks after you started your role at TAPA. And you spoke about the city being the driver of economic growth and the heart of community well-being. Powerful. What were some of your outgoing thoughts following the deputation further to your share about your work at TAPA?
So I think those of us who are tapped into the community at all or this industry at all understand that not just the past 5 years, but certainly specifically the past 5 years have made making art even more difficult than it has ever been before. Part of that is not just the financial aspects, but the infrastructure has really, I wouldn't say it hasn't been lost because it wasn't really there to begin with, but there became more of a need for it, I think, as we started to bring ourselves back into society and out of the pandemic. The pandemic taught us that we really need each other, that we are at our best when we collaborate with each other, when we can be in the same room, when we can work together, when we're there to be sounding boards and again, those shoulders for each other, those high fives for each other. And the city has just announced, in November, they announced their new 10-year arts plan called Culture Connects. An excellent initiative, but what is really most important about it, it is as only as good as we make it. So there are a lot of elements that make up the building blocks for this Culture Connects. And if we can't just let them, we can't just say, oh, they're there. We have to actually actively engage in them. So when I was doing my deputation, that was what I was talking about. We need to be involved. We need to show up. We need the city to actually look at the spaces that they're talking about sharing with the arts workers of the city and make sure that those spaces are actually like purpose built or they could be purpose renovated. A classroom in a school that has been surplused because there are no longer enough students or there is another newer school that has been built, but we still have this building that could be reused. That school is only as good as the sound. It's only as good as the height of the ceilings. It's only as good as the electricity that it can bear. Like all of those things are super important to the creation of art. And if you don't have like the basic infrastructure, then we're not really helping the people in the city do their work any better or any easier. So yeah, what I'm really hoping to see is the going past what's on the paper and actually that boots to the ground ideas of matchmaking, of saying, okay, we have identified a need. Here is the need. These artists have all been telling you about these needs for quite some time now. So we're ready for the action. You've made the commitment by actually writing the plan. Now let's implement the plan, and let's implement that plan more than just saying we're implementing the plan. We're actually going to do these things in the plan that we said. And they already have. Like, I don't want to come across saying that, sounding they're failing already. They're not. TAC did get an additional $2 million that TAC has distributed to deserving artists throughout the city of Toronto. TAC, for anyone who doesn't know, is the Toronto Arts Council, and they are our municipal funder of arts, and that's all arts. It's not just theater, dance, and opera. That it's music, it's literature, it's programming for kids doing music or dance or all of your arts in the parks are funded by TAC initiatives, all of those sorts of things. So the city has come through with that amount of money, and we're on to the next step now. So that's space, and that's collaboration, and that's really working together so that the supports that are coming out from the city are actually meaningful supports, and they're motivated and moved by the feedback that the artists of the city are actually giving.
Excellent. And you mentioned actively engage. What do you consider that to look like?
I think we're seeing some really wonderful things starting to emerge. I'm not sure if you heard about the collaboration between Soul Pepper, Bad Hats, The Fringe. I am missing someone in that. I am so sorry for that other company. Oh, Musical Stage Company. Yes, they are also on that list. But this collaboration is exactly the sort of thing I am talking about. They're using their resources to work together so that they can create better art. A number of those companies that I mentioned are non-venued. Musical Stage Company, Obsidian. I am also missing Obsidian. They are a non-venued company as well. Bad Hats, non-venued. The Fringe, we all know that The Fringe uses multiple venues, but those venues are not owned by The Fringe. So Soul Pepper and Crows, two excellent spaces in our city, beautiful, purpose-built, many studioed and many theatered spaces, have made room for these non-venued companies to work with them. And so what I hope to see is that, like, these big resources from these bigger heavy hitters are using those resources exactly the way I want to see them do it, by saying, look, we've got this. Here are the times we're not using it for our own programming. How can you, a non-venued company, use it for your programming, and what other supports can we supply? So that's like active engagement. Yeah. We're seeing this, and we see it a lot also in smaller indie companies, but it is not as prevalent in our media, I guess is the best way to say it. Those of us in the industry know we're seeing it in excellent collaborations, like in the West End. Crossroads Theater is developing sort of a new hub in the Weston Commons, and I believe Romano D'Andrea is very much involved in this new site. So that's part of this plan too. This is something I think is really exciting. This is active collaboration, when we're seeing sponsors who are involved in the arts, like Romano and Jeff, saying, hey, there's not enough art in our neighborhood. How can we change that? And they're actually building. They're going to build a theater. They're going to build spaces out there to bring more artists into that neighborhood and to really animate that. So there are some great examples of active collaboration and active actually getting involved and getting past the let's just have another survey, getting past that what questions aren't we asking, and saying, all right, these are the people in the room, these are the people who need it, what can we do now, let's get it done.
Absolutely. And it speaks to action.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And just and sort of, I think maybe it was the early 2000s, I kind of feel like there was this time in theater where we were just like, oh, you know, like, it's just all going to come to us, right? Like, I don't know. It just felt like there was like the funding is there, the sponsorships are there, the foundations are there. We sort of have what we need so we can do this work, and we can do it pretty easily. I don't know, I'm probably romanticizing a lot of that because it was 20 years ago. But it did feel like there were more independent companies, there were more resources. And then, you know, now the pandemic has shuttered so much of that. And we've lost a lot of that sort of independent feel that I'd really like to see built back up again. That sort of guerrilla type theater, you know, that we're going to produce things anywhere, anyway. It's going to be messy. Maybe it's not always going to be perfect, but it's going to be fun. And you're going to have an experience. Yeah, that's the action I want to see coming up in the next 10 years.
Stay with us. More of Turnout Radio coming up after this. How does Anamika take care of self as you navigate the industry, your work, and beyond?
Well, there are a number of ways that I take care of myself. As you know, we were sharing earlier, one of the things that was a bit of a gift for me is that I got a late diagnosis, ADHD diagnosis, when I was 47. I'm 49 now, so it's still fairly new, but I also sort of have hacked my brain into better living now, which has been great. Now that I know sort of who I am in a way that I didn't know before, I'm finding a lot more reasons to like myself, which has really been the game changer. That this diagnosis has meant that for me. And in being able to give myself this kind of grace, I found it easier to give this kind of grace to other people. And that's a really nice way of being able to take care of myself. You know, when I feel good about it's not even just feeling good about myself. I really love to give positive energy, and I suck it up like a sponge when I see the results of like my positivity when it lands on someone else. So for me, when I am regulated, when I'm feeling like, okay, I've got this, when I'm properly medicated, when I have properly exercised, then I have all of this space for people around me. And in this new position, I'm actually getting the opportunity to have those moments to say, hey, I'm here for you. And it fills my bucket. It really does. I like to be that person. There is a surprising amount of drama off of the stages that I wasn't quite prepared for in this role, but I'm also finding that like, this is something I'm well suited to navigate. And that's been great. And when I'm not dealing with all of the crises of Toronto, I'm doing triathlons. And that is so scary and so wonderful. And it's giving me so much because it is an exceptionally hard race to take on. For anyone who doesn't know, it's a bike. It starts with a swim. You get on a bike and then you run. And what I did was a sprint triathlon 2 weeks ago, which was 750 meters of swimming, 20 kilometers of biking, and then 5 kilometers of running. I was the absolute last person to cross the finish line. But the greatest thing about being last is everyone shows up. All of the event staff was there at the finish line. They were all screaming and giving me high fives and taking my picture and saying my name and that was just like, that's the kind of thing I want to bring to Toronto. That feeling of being the last one across the finish line. You did it, and we're all here for you. And that's, you know, like, that's how I want to be defined while I'm EED at Tampa.
Talk about the Doras. Yes.
Let's.
I am again excited. I want to revisit our opening. Very excited. The 45th anniversary Dora Maver Moore Awards, presented by the Romano D'Andrea Foundation, is going to be held on Monday, June 30th, held at Toronto's Meridian Hall, which is located at 1 Front Street East. Tell us, please, about the awards. And also, if you can please give us some history on what the ceremony represents and what folks can expect.
So the ceremony is named for Dora Maver Moore. She was born in 1888. And at the age of 8, she came to Toronto. And then she just was a champion of theater her entire life. She was the founder of the University Extension Players. She also founded with Herman Viaden, I think his name is. I might be mispronouncing that, but they were the Hart House touring players, I think. She was just a champion of theater her entire life. So when it was time for Toronto to have their own awards ceremony, we did our very first one in 1981, and it was named for her because she personified everything we felt was excellent about the arts in the city of Toronto. And that is exactly what the Dora Maver Moore Awards are 45 years later. It is a celebration of excellence in theater, dance, and opera. These are all professional companies. They range from very, very small, independent, one or two person incorporated not-for-profits to the super large Canadian opera companies and Soul Pepper and Crows and YPT, the largest, if not the largest, one of the largest theater for young audience organizations in Canada. And they're also like 50 something years old as well. So the Doras celebrate, we have eight different divisions. And within those eight divisions, we have numerous categories. I think the total is something, I think it's 43 awards we'll be giving out this year. And as you mentioned, it'll be at Meridian Hall, which is a gorgeous, huge venue. We are so excited. We finally have enough seats for everyone to come. So please buy your ticket. Come. It's going to be so much fun. It's going to be the fastest Doras ever. We're really excited about making sure that, you know, there are no pauses, no breaks, just fun. And we're going to fly through it so that we can get to the after party afterwards, which is where everybody actually really wants to be.
Well, over the years, there has been some shifts and changes to the ceremony and also to the protocol of the awards. So can you speak about some of the highlights?
So in the history of the Doras, we actually were the very first awards ceremony to get rid of the gendered categories. We did that in 2018. And I was actually on the board at that time. So I got to be a big part of that whole process. It was fascinating, to say the least. That happened through a series of town halls. We actually talked about this quite extensively with the community. I think the whole process probably took between, I would say, 6 and 9 months. I'll back up a little bit. Every few years, TAPA does a DORA eligibility review. And during that time, we really try and look at what is working and what might not be working, and what might need to be updated. So in 2018, the big question was, should we be looking at categories that are specifically binary, male, female? Eventually, we felt as a community that it wasn't important to give people awards based on their gender. It was more important to recognize the excellence in the award. And it was also kind of the hope that if we did that, we would see parity between the nominations of those who present as male and those who present as female, and then also not having that sort of very uncomfortable conversation for those who present as neither. Where do I go? How do I fit in? That question was coming up more and more and more. And so by the time we hit the review in 2018, it was the topic to talk about. It was, you know, like, how are we serving our community when we're not serving our community? It was not without its challenges, I will say, but we eventually got there, and we have had a little less than 6 years of it, because we had to cancel a couple for those pandemic, or we canceled one, and then two were online, I think, for the award ceremonies. But since then, what came with that dissolution of gender categories was a training of the jurors. We actually take a good amount of time to give the jurors the tools they need so that they can address perhaps their inner biases, and try, you know, like if they are noticing while they are going through selection process, oh, I have a lot of people, I've only nominated men, you know, maybe I should go back and think about that. Were all of the best performances just made by my male performing individuals? Or are there other people that present in other ways that maybe I could consider? In the past 6 years, since we have done these, since we have made non-gendered performance categories, we have found that the nominations have been pretty much on par. There's definitely space for non-binary people. There is space for male and female nominees, and it's been pretty pretty even across the board, which has been really great. And I think that is a direct result of the type of training that we have been very rigorous of giving to the jurors before they start their year of watching all of these hundreds and hundreds of shows, literally hundreds of shows.
And the statuette, I'd like to address that as well. The statuette has also been reimagined. Can you speak to that?
Yes. So it used to be like a Harlequino type clown. And then I was also on the jury when we did this. When did we do that? Was it also in that same review of 2018? It might have been. We wanted something that was, again, a little less gendered. Like you didn't look at this Harlequino and go, oh my gosh, that is a Toronto award. It was an arts award, but it wasn't a Toronto award. We developed the statue that is as we see it now, which is representative of a tree standing in the water. And then there is sort of like a halo. The tree also kind of looks like a human, like a little meeple, if you will. I love that word, meeple. So it's a little meeple tree standing on the water, and the arms sort of come up around its head to create what is like a spotlight. So it's a really nice kind of abstract representation of the land on which we live. You know, here we are on Treaty 13, the Toronto, where the trees meet the water, and a gathering place for all of us to come together and sort of be lighted by the spotlight of our industry performance.
Can you talk to us about accessibility and the awards ceremony?
Yes. So I'm really excited that this year we are going to have audio descriptive services as well as ASL description from the or translation from the stage. So we've got a team of four from Phoenix the Fire doing the ASL translation from the stage. And we also have Rebecca Singh and her company, Audio Descriptive Services, doing the audio description. And what's really cool, something I'm excited about this year, is that Rebecca is going to do a description of the theater. We're going to record this ahead of time. And this is just sort of to give those with low or no sight an environment that they can experience before they actually walk into the theater. This will give them an idea of what is on the set, what the theater itself looks like. It will just talk a little bit about the environment. And again, what we're doing that's kind of cool is we'll send that out to everyone before the show. So for those who might be used to this kind of service, generally those people would need to go into the theater about 15 minutes or 10 minutes before the show to get that environmental description. But we're going to do that ahead of time and send it out to everyone. So everyone will have the chance to enjoy that. And whether you need it or not, here's your opportunity to experience it, and it'll just be there for everyone to use. So please, please, please check out that link for those of you coming to the show who have your tickets, and listen to it, and certainly let us know if there is some feedback that you want to give us. Because as I said earlier, I'm really looking to increasing what we can do for accessibility, making sure that everyone can enjoy the Doras as we move forward in this world.
You're listening to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. Thank you. Anamika, I have been so enjoying our time today. But before you go, please enlighten us. Talk to us about B Street.
So B Street is a fairly new venue for us. It is our new home. We've been there for just about a year and a half now. But it is gorgeous. It is right on the corner of Bathurst and DuPont on the south. West side. It is that old bank building for any of you who know the area. And inside we have the TAPA offices that we share with the B Street Collaborative, Generator, and ADC. And we also have communal working space. We have the John Kaplan Lending Library and Community Lounge, if you will. So people can come and work from that lounge for free. We have great Wi-Fi. We often have coffee and tea. It's just a place for members to come and get out of the house if they need to. We've got great AC as well. So please come by this week as you are so hot and melting in your own homes trying to do work. The office at TAPA is open for you. We also, downstairs, it's two floors. So downstairs, we have a recording studio that is fully functional, it's decked out, beautiful equipment that can be used for podcasting or audiobook recording or I don't know, whatever your mind can think of. If you want to record something, lay down some music tracks, like we've got the microphones and the computer for it. You got to bring the guitar. We also have the self tape studio, which is where I do my monthly communiques from, and it is available to TAPA members for a very reasonable price to rent by the hour to do your own self-tapes. So if you don't have a self-tape studio set up at home, we've got your back. We've got you covered. And then, of course, we've got the Mervish Rehearsal Studio, which is a great, nice. It's a well-sized room, a bit of an alley, but the floor is a Marley floor, and we have mirrors all along one side. We have a green room attached to it to do breakout work. If you are coming to do a workshop, you can have some people working in the rehearsal studio and some people working in the green room. And then we also have storage. We have a purpose-built space with storage, which is great for renters who want to come and do like 3 weeks of rehearsal. We got space to put some of your set stuff. So yeah. And all of this is, we've got membership prices that are really, really reasonable. We've got space that isn't always full. So if you're looking to rehearse, come and check us out. We have also, I should say, since we are at this time of the year, we have reduced rates for people who are rehearsing for Fringe or for Summer Works, as they are some of our community partners that we like to help out. So reduced rates, if you are rehearsing a show for Summer Works or for Fringe, give us a call. Katie Gorham will help you out, our operations manager.
And I know that there is something coming up or something that you are hoping to re-implement into TAPA. Can you share your thoughts regarding that? Give us the 411.
So TAPA used to do something called the IndieX, and it was sort of like a two-day conference for networking opportunities for independent emerging artists to see what's what, to see who else is out there, to learn some things. And that's something I really want to bring back. So I'm hoping late March or April, early April, late March of 2026, we're bringing back IndieX. And I haven't totally envisioned what this is now. It was a conversation with the Indie Caucus a couple weeks ago that really inspired me to realize that this is needed, especially after the 5 years of the pandemic, when a lot of people who would have been going to theater school during that time or just finishing theater school and wanting to start their own organizations, lost a lot of the ability to learn how to do that. Again, in isolation, very hard to start a theater company and do live theater. So here's a chance for us to give back to the independent theater community and say, hey, do you want to learn about budgets? Hey, how I've just been incorporated. How do I not mess it up with the CRA? Hey, I've never worked with equity before. What should I know about a dot contract or the CTA if I'm there, sort of thing. So, for all of you independent artists, join TAPA. We're going to put together an incredible IndieX conference for you this spring, late spring, that's going to give you at least a taste of the beginnings of all of those things that you need to know to be an independent theater producer and maybe didn't get the opportunity to learn over the past 5 years. We're here. We got your back.
Oh, you certainly do. Mm-hmm. Oh, you do. Well, Anamika, what a joy and a pleasure it has been sitting down and sharing and exchanging with you today. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me on the show. And I'm looking forward to sharing space with you, with all of you, on Monday.
I cannot wait to see you in person on Monday. I cannot wait. I'm really excited to see what you're going to wear.
I'm still working on it. I'm still working. I'm still working on it. Yeah.
Fitzroy has 20% off. We're doing all our dresses from Fitzroy. And oh my gosh, I'm so excited to show off what I picked.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't wait to see you and what you'll be wearing. Anamika, you are a joy. Thank you again for joining me on the show. Such a pleasure.
Thank you. This has just been wonderful, Nicole. Thank you so much. You are a delightful person to be interviewed by. Oh, this is a great show you've got.
Thank you. Well, you've just made my day. Thank you, Anamika. I look forward to sharing space with you again very soon.
Thanks. We'll see you on Monday.
Today, you've been listening to the sounds of Cannonball Adderley with Autumn Leaves and John Coltrane with Blue Train. Thank you. Welcome back to Turnout Radio. That was Anamika Wade here in the house with me. Such a pleasure to be in conversation with her. Now, as always, folks, if you missed the top of the interview, we invite you to visit turnoutradio.com, CIUT.FM, and of course, some of your favorite podcast platforms out there where this episode will soon be streaming. The 45th anniversary Dora Maber Moore Awards presented by the Romano D'Andrea Foundation will be held Monday, June 30th at Toronto's Meridian Hall located at 1 Front Street East. And it will be hosted by actor Peter Fernandez. Turnout Radio will be there, and we invite you to learn more about the event, its histories, nominees, and much more at tapa.ca. This brings us to a close of today's episode. Thank you for sharing time and rhythm with us today. Join us again next week for more of Turnout Radio right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance.